Hello there, it's Simon Smedley here from the Oldham Chronicle. I'm up in Saddleworth this morning and I've come up to see Paddy O'Hare, rock and roller of quite a few years standing now, been in a number of bands and is still kind of in two bands if you like, and people keep telling me to come up to see Paddy, so good afternoon Paddy.
Good to see you at last, mate.
Yeah, good stuff, great to meet you. Like I say, you've been in a number of kind of rock and roll bands, cover bands, original bands over the years.
Yeah.
So if you could give us a flavour of your career, if you don't mind, Paddy.
Yeah.
Going back to the very beginning, how did you first get into
guitar?
Yeah, because obviously that's your forte.
Yeah, well, I started out actually in brass bands.
Oh, really?
I was in Dogcross Youth Band.
Right.
For years. And just as I got into it later, I was kind of like, you know, I can't sing with this thing stuck in my gob.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted a guitar.
Right.
And my dad's best mate, otherwise known as Uncle Kev,
right,
was Kevin Neal, who was guitarist in the Carl Denver Trio in the 60s.
Really?
And we went to see him.
Yeah.
And said, I want a guitar. So yeah, he gave me my first guitar.
Wow. And how old were you then?
I was about 17.
As late as that then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in sixth form by then.
Oh, right.
And I think I might have thrown the towel in at Dogcross Youth Band by then.
Right.
I had to wait till my dad was singing on one of his cruises for like 6 weeks and a half while he was away. Because
right.
He wouldn't let me when he was here.
Yeah, I see.
So,
That's brilliant then. So obviously you self-taught, or did you have a...
I mean, a couple of mates showed me some bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, everyone was sort of like playing in the common room at Oldham Sixth Form.
Yeah.
That was kind of the thing.
Brilliant.
Like, and Bruce Carter, who's in the Whip.
All right,
yeah. He showed me a few things, and a mate of mine, Pete Moody, showed me a few things, and then it was just kind of self-taught then.
Okay.
And around that time, you know, it was like 96, 97, it was like all the Britpop thing, but we were all still listening to grunge and from school and stuff.
Yeah.
But I became a Beatles maniac at the time, because the anthology was on the TV.
I see,
It was like, oh, I've got to play, you know. Yeah. And playing Beatles songs was what got me kind of rhythm playing together.
Right.
And then I was a big fan of Eric Clapton, and that sort of got me to play into playing lead guitar.
Okay.
Did a couple of things at college, like little cabaret type things at college. And then I was going to an open mic at Jackson's, which I eventually ended up running that for a couple of years until I went to uni.
Right, okay. Your first band, I think, was Blue Thatcher.
Yeah.
Is that right? And you went straight into to being the front man in that particular outfit.
Yeah.
Just tell us a little bit about Blue Thatcher and how they sort of fared.
Well, I was doing gigs, sort of little solo gigs and stuff. And then my best mate, Dan, joined a band that was based at the Commercial in Upper Mill.
Mm.
And their frontman emigrated to Australia, which has become a sort of running theme in my life and bands now. But he emigrated and he said, oh, you should get Paddy in and he'll do some stuff.
Yeah.
So I kind of joined that as a semi-pre-existing thing. And then we went about bringing in different people and and then that sort of became the first version of Blue Thatcher, if you will. Yeah, it was like me, Dan, Steve James on drums.
Yeah.
Ollie Kelly, who was a guy I was at university with, who ended up moving to Saddleworth on bass. And then Andy Mack was on, played a bit of brass, and Jono Donohoe was playing guitar. So it was a bigger band.
Yeah.
But we started out, because basically I think there was already a gig booked for the pre-existing band, and we said, what's the easiest way for us to do a gig? So I said, well, we'll just play some blues stuff, because it's all pretty straightforward. So we put a blues set together, and our first gig was like 6 weeks later at Jackson's Pit.
Right.
And the name was a kind of joke, really. It was just like, we need a name.
Yeah.
And me and Dan had this stupid running gag about Maggie Thatcher being mentioned in the final cut, you know, Pink Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, wouldn't it be funny to do something like that?
Right.
So we just called it, because it was a blues band, Blue Thatcher, that'll be funny.
Right.
And then we got lumbered with it then.
Yeah, yeah. So how long did Blue Thatcher go on for, Paddy?
It was from 2003 to 2008, and it grew from being, you know, 6-7 piece to going down to being a 4 piece and then an original band as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did like Academy 2 and The Cavern and
yeah.
Played in Dublin, and we got around a fair bit.
Yeah, yeah.
that's the recurring theme. We eventually ended up with George Escobar on bass, a guy from Chile who lives around here, because our previous bass player emigrated to Australia.
Right.
And then Steve James, the drummer, decided he was emigrated to Australia, right. And that was the end of Blue Thatcher, basically.
Yeah, okay.
So many of my bands have been lost to the Australians.
Yeah. Good line.
One like day it'll one. Be me. You'll like be like, oh, yeah. Right, I'm off now. It's my turn. Yeah.
Okay, so we've then moved on to Raucous and Think Ploid.
Yeah.
Now, I think that pretty much explains everything, really. Think Ploid.
Yeah.
But you, those two bands went on for quite some time, I think, as well, didn't
they? It was a really busy period, that, because that's when I started at Rock Radio as well.
Right.
So I was working at Rock Radio and doing breakfast with Steve Berry and I did some with Mike on Drive Time. And I got asked to join Raucous.
Mm.
I was running a band night as well in Manchester. And Think Ploid came in the somewhere in the middle of that. Raucous was an original band.
Yeah.
But it was kind of punky pop. It never really sat quite right with my playing.
Mm.
But we did do some recording.
Yeah.
And they're still going.
Right.
And Think Ploid, we rehearsed for a year before we did a gig.
Mm.
And then, because there's a lot of stuff to learn there.
Yeah.
There really is.
Yeah.
and it was great because our first gig, this band that I ran in Manchester on Oldham Street, a place called Joe's Bar, doesn't exist anymore. We played our first gig there to 30 people and our second gig to 1,300 at the Ritz.
Wow.
Because it was the Rock Radio's first birthday pie.
I see.
And I got us on.
Yeah, right, I see.
So, that was Think Ploid's sort of
it's not what, it's
gig.
Not what you know, it's who you know.
That's all it's about, right. This business.
So there was a brief interlude with Paddy and the Crusade, you told me earlier. Just a single gig.
Yeah, gig.
What was that all about, Paddy?
Well, I became friendly with Mick from Supergrass, just really from being a fan.
Mm.
And he'd started, this is before Gaz went solo properly, and he was telling me about this new band of his called the DB Band. It was a three-piece band. And I wanted to see them play up here, up north. I kept asking him, and nothing really seemed to be happening for him. So I said, look, I'll put you on. And then I sort of turned around and went, well, it'd be nice to play a gig with him, but I haven't really got anything going.
Mm-hmm.
So we just quickly pulled something together. I managed to bring Dan out of retirement and we got Jimmy from the 99s and a lad called Tom Fields on drums. I wrote two new songs and we played like a couple of old Blue Thatcher ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really good.
And where was this single gig at?
Upper Mill Civic Hall.
All right.
Like we'd done with Think Ploid a couple of times. And it was that, after we'd done that, I mean, Jimmy was busy. I don't think, because the 99s were sort of on layoff, I think. I'm not sure. I can't remember now. But Dan pretty much was like, I've played a gig with one of my heroes. That'll do me.
Yeah.
So that just kind of fizzled out,
right.
Really.
Okay. So after the sort of those days, the Think Ploid days, you met Mike Sweeney and kind of created Mike and Paddy and the Collective. And we've also sort of,
reacquainted, really.
Yeah. And we've also come on to the Replicants as well now. So just tell us about those two particular outfits, Mike and the Collective, obviously, and yourself and the Replicants.
Yeah. Well, like I said, me and Mike were working at Rock Radio. And that's how I got to know him better. I did know him before that. I've known him for, 10, 15 years.
Mm.
And we got on very well. And then I'd left Rock Radio, got made redundant. And unfortunately, commercial radio is not what it used to be. The money's not there. The internet killed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he phoned me up out of the blue and said, I've got this idea for a, for like an acoustic thing. And he kind of tried it out with a few other people. I know he did a bit with Dave Sharp from The Alarm, and they were doing it together for a while, but that didn't really work out. He said, I've got like a few unfinished songs and stuff. So I said, yeah, we'll just bring the guitar around and we'll have a look. So he played me this stuff, and I kind of finished off some of the songs, rearranged some of them, and we just sort of tried it out, the two of us, at a couple of jam nights, and we're like, oh, this is good.
Mm.
We should record.